Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It is 4th of July week here at Baltimore. Positive. I should get a red, white, and blue logo out in AI to say, make it an American flag. I should probably do that. We're coming up on our 28th anniversary. It comes up on August 3rd. So we're looking forward to that. It is going to be a great summer around here of football later on, some Maryland crab cake tours, all presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at GBMC and Farnan and Dermer. Luke's got the Farnan and Dermer on. I don't know why you don't have your little orange Hawaiian Farnan and Dermer. I almost put mine on, but it's being laundered right now. But I did go with my peachy Costas because this is an Orioles segment. We're getting this close to not doing them anymore. And Luke's going to be going on vacation. I am going to be in Philadelphia for the All-Star game in 2 weeks. So we're going to have some baseball in the brain here. And obviously, the Orioles still home for a couple more days as we get going here. But football season's coming soon, Luke, isn't it?
It is. And it can't get here soon enough at this point in time. I mean, it's just, look, I mean, we're broken records talking about this ball club. I mean, it's another series where Friday night they win. It looks good. Trevor Rogers pitched really well, and it was a tidy 3-1 victory. And we've talked about this a lot, this notion of winning the first game of a series and how that should set you up to win a series, right? I mean, like you've got two games left and say, hey, just win one of those. But we've seen a lot here recently where, I mean, even since that good 10-4 stretch that they had and they were two games under 500, they've lost four different series where they've won the opener since then. Since then, I mean, we're talking the last few weeks. So it's not a way to get yourself back to 500, let alone above 500, and it just leaves you very frustrated. I mean, like I said, Trevor Rogers pitched really well. They played, not perfect baseball, but they did enough. Blaze Alexander had an early two-run single. I guess it wasn't that early. It was the fourth inning. And Mayo gives him a little bit of insurance later in the game, and the bullpen was tidy. Tyler Wells pitched well, and Grant Wolfram and Ryan Helsley recorded his first save since late April. You're saying, okay, you're set up to have a nice weekend, right? You won Friday night. And then you just see Saturday where, they kick the ball around early on and it costs them a couple runs. And Brandon Young had a really interesting game. I mean, he got a ton of swing and miss. I mean, to the point that it caught up with him a little bit from a pitch count standpoint, but you got another representative start from him, good enough, and they didn't hit the ball, right? And okay, they get a comeback in the bottom of the eighth inning, had a chance to walk it off, and they don't. And they have another a breakdown in terms of situational hitting with the contact play very late in that game, and you lose. But even then, you're thinking, okay, your ace is going on Sunday. Well, not the best version of Kyle Bradish. Struggled to throw strikes and.
Yeah, that's been on and off, right? Like it was coming along, right?
Yeah,
And
yeah. I mean, I want to be very clear. He's still their best pitcher. I mean, it's not even close the amount of upside he has compared to anyone else in their
he
rotation.
is their hope. I mean, if they're going to be a
Stints,
playoff team, he's going to be
but they need
the
more than
one.
that. I
Yeah,
mean,
I
like that,
understand that, but he's
right.
got to be a big
But
part of
yes,
it.
he needs to be their ace. Like, he needs to be that guy. And look, since second week of May, overall, he's been really good. I mean, the numbers would bear that out, but if you recall, he had back-to-back clunkers to start June, and at that point, you're kind of like, oh, like what's going on? And then he had two brilliant starts, but then on Sunday, he struggled to throw strikes, right? I mean, the one thing that's been, it's not a good thing when I say consistent, but he's had a lot of issues with getting ahead, right? First pitch strike percentage is like the worst in baseball, or has been right in that territory all year. Can you overcome that? Yes. Does it make it more difficult on yourself? No question about it, right? Whether it's in terms of simply driving up your pitch count or putting yourself in more stressful situations, walking a few more guys. I mean, it's Masson had a statistic during Sunday's game. Bradish has the most walks in the majors with two outs. And lo and behold, that's what we saw on Sunday, right? I mean, you look at that, Sunday started out okay, right? Pete Alonso hits a home run, it's 2-0. You're thinking, hey, you got Bradish on the hill, you're on your way. And then the bottom of the third inning arrives and two outs, Bradish issues a couple walks, And then, Garcia has the two-run double. I mean, it got away from them. And then Kobe Mayo makes an error, right? So the pitching breaks down, and then the defense breaks down right after that, right? And before you know it, you're down 3-2, right? So it just, every time you think this team has is showing a little bit of something that's encouraging, they revert, right? They go right back to being what they are. It's funny, we've used the term consistency or inconsistent, and a lot of people have used that. You and I have used it just like anyone else, but they actually are kind of consistent when you look at how they, I mean, like, you just see these things happen constantly, right? I mean, we're going to look at this, we've talked a lot about this 10 and 4 stretch, which started with the 7-3 homestand and all that. That's been way more the outlier than how they've played otherwise, right? I mean, look at how they played over the better part of the first 2 months. Look at how they've played since that 10-4 stretch. I mean, and I gave them credit during that time, but you're talking about a 2.5 week period there. Other than that, it's been more like this, where you might win the first game of a series and then you drop the series, or you kick the ball around, or you issue a few too many walks, your offense disappears. I mean, look what happened to them again against Littell on Sunday. I mean, this is a guy who has a 5.29 ERA, and he's shut them down twice this year, right? I mean, it's very frustrating. And in our previous segment, we talked a lot about the big picture and the brand and lack of interest and the fact that they didn't draw a ton of people. Even though it's two local teams playing over the weekend and it's late June and all of that, but it's this constant two steps forward, two steps back, two steps forward, three steps back, right? Three steps forward, three steps back. I mean, they can't win more than three games in a row. They've struggled to earn any sweeps whatsoever this year, except for a couple, right? I mean, it's just, they just can't sustain anything. And even when they had a stretch where they started to sustain, look at how choppy at best it's been since then, right? I mean, this is very similar to last year in that way. Not that they had the disastrous start. I mean, last year, remember, first 50 games, they were 16-34. So obviously they didn't start nearly to the disastrous level that they did last year. But if you go back to last year, it was even a West Coast trip, and they played well. They had a stretch of 9 of 11, and they got themselves, I think, to 11 under. And at that point, if you were trying to make any argument for the rest of the year to be relevant, interesting, whatever descriptor you wanted to use, that needed to be the jumping off point. That needed to be the springboard, in the same way that 10-4 needed to be, not that you are going to continue to win 10 out of every 14, right? I'm not saying they're going to play 105 win ball the rest of the year, but that needed to be where you say, okay, you're almost back to 500. Just start winning series more consistently, right? You don't even have to win 6 in a row or 9 of 10. Just win 2 out of 3, win 2 out of 3, win 2 out of 3. If it's a 4-game series, split. But since then, since that 10-4 stretch, which, remember, that stretch kind of culminated with that comeback win in Toronto on that Friday night, where they were losing and then they went nuts and they won 13-3. Since then, however, series loss, series split with Seattle, series loss, 1 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. Okay, bravo, good job. And now two more series loss immediately after that, right? I mean, that's
It
not
kind of
a,
cancels it out.
it not kind of, it completely does. I mean, it completely does. I mean, they're 8-13 over their last 21 games since they had their really nice stretch. That's, they're back to being, they're one game better than their low watermark in terms of games below 500. However, the difference, right, we think about it in terms of, like, how many games under 500 are you? Okay. There's also another month gone from the calendar now, right? That there's an opportunity cost there as well, where you say, it's one thing to be 8 games under 500 on May 20th when you have 4+ months of baseball left. But now you're talking about being 7 under 500.
What accelerates the pace of 700 ball you're going to have to play in order to catch
Right,
yourself.
exactly. Now you start to get into the territory.
It's
And
basic
again,
math, right? Literally.
right, it's math. I, like, I'm
It's
a
almost
math
like the
guy.
magic number.
Right, sure. But and yes, anyone that's trying to be the optimist, and there are still some out there, and look, God bless, I applaud enthusiasm, right? Because it's not easy to be
I've watched the first
enthusiastic.
85 games, though.
Sure, I have too. But yes, you can keep talking about the wild card race, and I'll hear that. Mathematically, it's not over. It's not over by a long shot mathematically. But at some point in time, don't you have to, aren't you competing against yourself at some point in time, right? Aren't just, are we good enough? Are we playing well enough? Is our defense good enough? Is our situational hitting good enough? Are we pitching to the level that we need to pitch consistently? And look, the pitching overall, especially the rotation over the last month has been much better than it was early on. I can acknowledge that. But when you look at each area of the game, you look at every player, and you kind of just throw it all together. I've heard other people say this, and I agree wholeheartedly. Man, the sum of this team is absolutely less than the parts. And I'm not even like getting into, oh, this team's so talented, right? I question that when it's not showing up for as long as it hasn't shown up now. But at the same time, you just look at this and just say, man, this is just not, it's not inspiring. Just isn't. And meanwhile, you do look at the rest of the wild card race, and yes, there are only three games out of the final wild card spot, but I do start to look at some teams that are starting to, starting to look better. Like look at Houston, for example, right? I mean, they were really in a bad place. They're 2 games under 500 now.
But you mentioned pedigree about them at some point.
Sure,
And
and I want to be
where's the
clear.
pedigree with this outfit here? And
Yeah.
it's not anything like we have the ability to run back and catch up and like all of that. This is so the different team than Corbin Burns and Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes, whatever that was two,
Yeah.
3 years ago.
I mean, especially 3 years ago. Yeah.
I mean, Henderson and Rutschman were a part of it, but it almost feels like they weren't. It was what happened to those
No, no,
guys,
no. I understand the point you're
From a
making.
leadership growth,
Sure.
hey, we're moving forward, not backward, in a general sense. Henderson especially feels,
Yeah.
I mean, we should talk about him. I started to ink a letter to him about a week and a half ago when they played at Dodger Stadium. It may be more of an all-star break thing for me with him, but my God, what that young man's career. And we went through this with Rutschman this time last year and the year before that, right? Like, were these guys that look like phenoms have that Mark McGwire 201 year in them?
Yeah, and look, I mean, you just said it. Sometimes that does just happen, right? I mean, I'm not excusing it. I'm trying to
Hasn't happened to
rationalize
most of
and
the Hall of
explain it.
Famers that I've seen.
Oh,
Let me.
well, let's not compare them to Hall of Famers because they haven't earned that to be in that space, right?
Well,
And
they have in
I'm
Middle River. I mean, we're around here, we've talked about Gunnar. Gunnar, he's the greatest. He can't get the ball to first base half the time. You know what I mean? Like defensively.
I see. I'll push back on that a lot. The defense is the last of my concerns with Gunnar Henderson at this point in
I
time.
agree with
And
that.
let me be clear,
Fair enough.
that's not me suggesting that he's a gold glove
And
shortstop.
that's me just conceding that he's going to hit the ball, which he hasn't done.
I mean, we've said that a lot. I mean, how many times, if we had an ombudsman just keeping track of how many
Because we've
times.
watched him do it for 3 years when he was 21 years old, right?
But at the same time,
Yesterday's not today, yeah.
at the same time, no, I'm going to go back a little bit here. 2024 first half, he was MVP level, right? I mean, if you had taken a vote on June 20th or June 30th or July 3rd of that season, I'm guessing Aaron Judge probably still gets the nod, but Gunnar Henderson was right there. I mean, that's what kind of year he was having. But it's funny, we did this a lot with Rutschman because of how precipitous his fall was, how striking, how jarring it was, how he looked from the second half of 24 through the end of last year. But if you look at Gunnar Henderson, well, his second half of 24 was not as good as his first half. And then obviously last year he had the, what was it, the rib cage oblique, intercostal, whatever it was a rib cage issue that landed him on the IL to start the year, even though he only missed the first week. But remember, he missed a good chunk of spring training then as a result of that. And it did cost him his first week of the season. And then we come to find out after the fact, after the season ended that he did have a shoulder issue. Not something that he couldn't play with, but something that conceivably zapped him of some of his power. And we talked about it. I mean, Gunnar didn't have a terrible year last year, but the home run power wasn't there, right? But you look at where he is this year, he's hit home runs. I mean, he's on pace for a 30 home run season, but 221, that's one thing, but a 291 on base percentage, right? I mean, still having a sub 300 on base percentage this late in the year. So even Gunnar, even though we didn't look at it through the same lens as what happened with Rutschman, but same kind of deal. You're talking about 2 calendar years now since he looked like that MVP level Gunnar Henderson. So that's
Or
why
look
just
like the $500 million contract guy,
sure,
right?
either
Yeah.
way. And look, I mean, he's
Well, they're
still.
all playing for a contract and like all of that, but
It's
he's inconceivable that 2 years ago on that flyover when the Phillies were here, that we would be sitting here talking about this level of an organizational disaster where their aircraft carriers aren't carrying water pistols right now, any of them,
I mean,
in
it's.
regard to not just trade value, but what you would really get in a trade value in regard to the other team thinking we're going to be the one that gives him $300 million, or he's going to be the one that gets us to a pennant race. Because I know Elias, poor Mike Elias, had to answer those questions from those hand-selected media, hard questions from people like Rock Kabako that work for him. I don't know what their trading deadline thing is, but these are their assets. And I'm not fixing the first three letters of that, but these are their assets, and how they utilize them from Arrigetti and Rubinstein's perspective of the whole chessboard, and why Elias is the guy moving these pieces around right now or eating them in various cases. That's really the issue for me with the real future of the organization. Not the ticket sales, not the strike, not Katie Griggs, not the All-Star game in 20, none of that. The real future of the organization are the allocation and management and strategy behind these assets. And look, man, you and I are a decade gone on Machado. Literally, it's been a decade, man, since he's been gone. And they mismanaged that asset. We said it then. God bless you, Dean Kramer. And used to, by the way, I couldn't think of Yusnel Diaz's name on the air 2 weeks ago. I was like, began with a Y. It was weird. It was an you.
I haven't even thought about that name in
There you
2 years.
go, dude. That's why I brought it up, because
Yeah.
you might have had a hard time coming up with that one if I ask you. Remember who the gem of that Manny Alexander Juan Bell deal was going to be, or whatever? The Jim Fuller, the Earl Williams. I mean, I
Seems
go
like
through all of
the
these.
Dodgers knew what they were doing, right? Trading him away.
Almost. And I remember when his manager at Bowie said, love you, Sparrows Point. But nonetheless, for me, the allocation of the assets and managing these assets, and over the next 32 days for the trading deadline, saying, all right, we Gunner, we love Gunner. Well, okay, next year he's going to come back, and is he going to be a 220 hitter? Can you fix him? There's going to be a new manager. There's going to be a new general manager. He's going to be here. He's the battleship. He's the thing we got. Basayo's over here. Rutschman, you got to get on him now. And he's brighter than he was, but he ain't your catcher of the future. You just drafted two catchers, and you just gave another
Oh,
catcher
but I'm gonna
$78
yeah,
million.
I'm gonna stop you on that because we need to update that. Bodine's gone. They traded him in the
Right,
Boz
fair
deal,
enough. You're right.
and Ike Irish isn't playing. He's an
Right.
outfielder. I mean, he's not. I don't think he's caught a
Well,
game in
either
minor
way,
leagues.
Adley
So,
Rutschman is not the catcher of their future.
well,
I don't think so. I don't think they're
okay.
going to
No,
give him
it's interesting.
$200 million to be their catcher the next 5 years.
It's interesting you mentioned that because I was just gonna pose the question. I find this interesting, and maybe I shouldn't, and maybe I'm saying this too detached, thinking more as just someone who's covering baseball rather than being a fan. But I've been surprised with how much pushback there is locally, whether we're talking fans or even reporters. And I don't mean reporters like that I'm accusing someone of being a homer. It's not that. But I've been surprised at how much pushback there is on the idea of trading Adley Rutschman. I mean, are we just going to completely ignore last year in the second half of 24? Are we going to completely ignore that he's already in his age 28 season? And let me be clear, he's had a nice bounce back season. He's also had two IL stints now, in addition to the two last
And
year.
what
Now,
is his value? Now the key, he's no longer the 1-1 that you're getting
Well,
blue chip
I
anything.
think he still has plenty of value because,
Okay, all right.
I mean, you don't think so?
I think he has plenty of value. I don't think it's going to rock the organization to deal him. And
No,
what
I
they
don't.
got for Machado when they got it, I wouldn't expect much more than a four. If you're going to get young
Well,
players, if you're going to get young
I mean,
players,
Manny
if.
Machado's a, you know, was already way more accomplished at that point than Adley
But
Rutschman is.
my point is, if you get a Yusnel Diaz, which was worthless, and if you get a Dean Kramer, which has whatever value, did we get anything
Right.
else in that deal? Am I wasn't there a relief pitcher for a minute or two in the beginning or so? I
Yeah.
don't even know, right?
Evan,
Like,
was Evan Phillips in that deal? I'll look it up now because I'm
that doesn't
curious.
even matter because he never he wasn't
Yeah. Well,
he
I
didn't
mean, not.
contribute.
He was a contributor elsewhere, but not for the Orioles. I don't think he was in that deal. I'm gonna look now though, just because I'm
Well,
curious and the
because we're
internet's a
wondering what
wonderful.
we're going to get for Rutschman, right? Like literally, right? Like
No, it
what
would.
makes it worth getting rid of him versus, to your point, well, he's our 1-1, he's come back, he's going to be our catcher next year. Well, all right, now you have decided you're going to let him get the free agency because he's going to get there anyway because look who his agent is. So and then you have the strike, right? And then this is where we had a big segment 2 months ago about how the strike's going to affect all of this. I can't It's going to affect all of it, from money, years, philosophy, ethos, predictions of what. I mean, all of these dumbass owners we have, they don't know anything about baseball. They just think, well, we'll work it all out. Like the fans used to say, well, there's so much money there. These guys are making $1 million a year. No, these guys are making $50 million a year. Are they going to strike? We'll find out. But or are they going to walk off? How tough is this going to be? But this is always ugly. And the baseball labor thing, and I don't know how these billionaire hedge fund guys are going to view their assets in all of this, or how they're going to view the humanity, or to your point, your fee-fees, because they don't have any fee-fees about any of this, and I don't think Mike Elias has any fee-fees. Whatever fans feel about Adley Rutschman because they bought the jersey or like him or whatever, dude. These are asset people. That's what I said. I started this with asset management. We're now into the asset management piece of how do we win next year? Because this year doesn't look so good.
Yeah. So just to, first of all, it wasn't Evan Phillips. It was Zach Pop, who was actually pitched in the majors some, obviously nothing of consequence with the Orioles.
And that was a
But
Duquette deal. Let's right. Duquette made that decision.
that was Duquette. Yeah. I mean, that was
But one
July.
day Elias will be gone and we'll look back on you're trying to give Rutschman away here the next month. Elias will be the one that
Well,
gets
no.
whatever we get at this point. And I'm a little uncomfortable with that moving forward if he's not my guy. He's not my guy, but he's their guy.
Well, you don't have to trade Adley Rutschman next month. And when I'm bringing up at trading Adley Rutschman, I'm not even suggesting that it needs to be at the trade deadline. But if it's going to happen, you don't want it to be at next year's trade deadline. You don't want it to be Machado. You want it
What's
to at least.
predicated on that for you over the next 30 days? What would make you, other than a good return, and we never know what the return, it's going to be a
Well,
bunch of guys, right? Like, what makes it a good idea versus a bad idea in your mind over the next month to even consider it, even though I feel the conservative nature of the way this thing has gone, they won't deal him. I don't think they'll deal him.
I don't think they're going to either, because that's where you do go into what does that mean for 2027,
Right.
right? And put the labor situation just to the side for the moment. We know it's there, but when you're just trying to look at it
Let's
from,
pretend they're going to play baseball. Okay.
yes. And that's where, for me, I guess I'm almost answering my own question, because I started this by saying, have I been surprised by that I've been surprised about the pushback. But I guess for me, I'm just looking at it through the lens of, so what is the game plan then? You're just going to play it out with him and then let him walk after 27? Or do you look at it through the lens of, okay, we're probably not going to trade him now. However, if this year doesn't go, continues to look as listless as it's looked, what are the prospects for next year, even if there is a season and the CBA gets worked out in February, let's say, and there ends up being a full season, all that? What is our pathway? And that's where I really look at it in terms of, okay, if you want to keep him, then are you trying to extend him? And if you're trying to extend him, what makes sense? First of all, is he amenable to it? Now, Adley Rutschman's not a Boris guy, but is he amenable to it? And is it
Thank you for
something?
pointing that out. I
Yeah.
forgot that.
No, it's
Yes.
okay. I mean that everyone else
You
is.
assume they are. Yeah.
Well,
Okay.
Gunner, Holiday,
Holiday, right.
and Westberg, you know, even though Westberg at this point, I mean, you know, it, kind of inconsequential until he's not. But the point is, like, and when I let me be clear, this isn't me saying like I'm eager to trade Adley Rutschman. I'm not suggesting that, but I am wondering what makes sense. Like, if it's on a team, if it's a deal that's friendlier, not friendly to the team, I'm not trying to like speak about this in unrealistic terms, but if you had a deal like a 4-year deal, you know, I'd have to like kind of look at some of the top catchers and what they're making and all of that. But let's just say it was a deal that's not making him the highest paid catcher in baseball or anything crazy, right? But a good contract. Like, I'll hear that, I suppose. But at the same time, this guy's going to be 30 years old the first year of his new contract with whatever team he's playing with at that point in time, right? And even though his defense has taken a massive, you know, he's had a massive bounce back with his defense. He's been good defensively. I mean, he has been as
What
much
do
as
you
we.
think a contract would look for like for him right
It's
this
tough
minute?
for me
If
to. Well, I mean, I'm.
he hit the market right now at 28 or 29, would anybody look at him as a 5-year catcher at
Probably
28 million a
because
year?
there are so few. I don't know if 20. Like, I don't. That's the part where I'm begging a little bit of ignorance here that I
Yeah.
haven't looked at this a little more carefully. But the point is, we know there aren't very many catchers in baseball that can bring the combination of offense and defense that he brings and that he has brought this year, that he brought earlier in his career, that he wasn't bringing that combination last year or the second half of 2024. So I guess for me, it's probably a bigger picture feeling that I have that I don't really have warm and fuzzies about any of these guys right now. Because, like, okay, Adley Rutschman's been way better. They're still not winning, right? You know what I mean? Like, so I guess I don't know. Like, I'm kind of just talking in circles about this as I'm going on. But I guess for me, there are a lot of people out there, even reporters, and even reporters that I, you know, I'm not being disrespectful. I respect opinions and all that, but like this idea that Adley Rutschman should be untouchable or anything like that, like I don't see that, right? I,
That he's still this rare china, that he's
yeah,
the Mona
but
Lisa or
because I
something like that,
just,
because he's
yeah,
not.
but and I mean, look, has he lived up to expectations overall? No. And look, part of that is also seeing what Bobby Witt Jr. has become, which that's hindsight, right? I mean, I'm not going to judge Mike Elias too harshly on that, considering the industry consensus was Rutschman, right? And it's real easy to look at it 7 years later and see how it's played out. But that's still part of how you feel about it, right? That's still.
I still remember Rutschman coming in and patting everybody in the ass in the beginning and bringing this whole level of energy that felt.
And they started playing really, really well about 3 or 4 weeks after he arrived, right? I mean, like
He
it
looked
was,
like an aircraft carrier, whatever that
it
word you
felt
use
that
is.
way, yeah. And you know, since then, not so much. Now, again, he has been much better this year, and I want to. I'm trying to give him his proper due there. Like, this isn't me saying I hate Adley Rutschman as a player, but I also do look at it and say, well, are you going to sign him? Are you going to win even if you keep him next year? Right? Like, go down the list of all those different questions, and yeah, the labor situation has to be a consideration. You know, in addition to all the other variables you mentioned, and that's where I look at it and say, you know, what could you get for him at the trade deadline? Or if not then,
Probably
what
not
could,
enough.
what
Like
could you get
literally,
for
as we sit
him?
here and talk
What
about it,
could
right?
you, but what could you get for him over the winter? If it is a new GM, right? I mean, think about when Mike Elias first came in. I mean, think about, you know, not that the Orioles had a ton of assets left on the roster at that point in time, but you know, a year later, he dealt Dylan Bundy, right? Dylan Bundy went to the Angels and they got Kyle Bradish, right? I mean, if you could tell me right now that the Orioles could trade Adley Rutschman and get another Kyle Bradish caliber, I don't mean like, you know, just like that kind of upside arm or something like that. I mean, I'd have to at least consider it, you know? I mean, but again, some of this is just like, I'm not enamored with any of this at this point in time. I mean, They have Bisaio locked up long term. Great, right? I think he's a really talented player. That he still has some maturing to do. And, there's still some refining to his game that I think you'd say about any 21-year-old, but you certainly see ability. And there was a he was the one that was always going to be easier to sign long term, right? I mean, international players are, generally speaking, always going to be a little bit easier to sign because so many players come from such humble beginnings, right? We understand that. And I'm not even like that's not a criticism. That's just looking at it from a reality standpoint. But I don't know. Is Adley Rutschman going to sign something that's sensible, that makes sense for you as an organization, not really knowing where this thing is even going at this point in time? Or is it an opportunity to flip him as he's in the midst of a renaissance season and you get a couple assets for the future? But I mean, is Michael Elias going to do that, knowing that he might be gone in 3 months? Probably not. Let me be clear. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not even suggesting that they should trade him at the trade deadline. But I guess I've just been surprised at how many people are so quick to even shut down the idea when you just consider where they are right now, right? This feels more and more like they're in no man's land, like the exact space you don't want to be in, right? They're not really good enough to really believe that this is going to become something special. And frankly, there aren't enough prospects even in this system at this point to think that there's a second wave that's going to be better than the first wave. You know what I mean? Like, but on the flip side, they're not awful. They're not horrible. I mean, the system's different now anyway with, the idea of tanking or getting the number one pick or anything like that. Even if you,
But for Elias to talk about being a buyer, this, what does that even mean?
well, I mean, I to me it
They're eight
means,
games under 500, dude.
well, but
Like, if they're
there's,
eight games under 500, three, like,
well,
if all he was going to do was go into the dugout and say things that he didn't mean 3 weeks later, I don't know. And look, we look at these press conferences
but
differently.
he's
You
not going
can
to say
say
they're.
that they're full of manure, and I still look at it like the fans are watching this. Maybe the fans have accepted that the social media of the Orioles is full of manure and that they're just going to perfunctory and performatively lie or say whatever the fans want to hear or whatever. But then there really is the reality of they've got TikTok in a month in this particular season with this particular brand of players with this particular asset group and this guy making the decisions of Elias that this time next year, if they have astute ownership, and I don't think they do, and that was so last segment ago, that they would move on and freshen up here and try to put a fresh face on it for their customers, for people like me that have lost faith in Mike Elias.
Yeah. Just for full disclosure, and obviously I'm not going to read the entire transcript of everything he said on Saturday, but he was asked about being buyers, and here's the quote, and I'll read it to you, and I tweeted this out at Baltimore Luke and at WNST. But I really hope so. We're planning that way in case it's the case, but I'm going to have to look at the circumstances and what happens. I will be doing the right thing for the franchise regardless of everything else. We're going to have to see what the standings are and what our team's looking like at that time, but we're certainly making those preparations, meaning to buy. Everybody in this building's in the mindset of going forward in 2026. I mean, look, I have plenty of issues with Mike Elias and where this franchise is. I don't really have a problem with that statement. He's basically saying, yeah, as of now, we want to buy, but he's acknowledging they've got to start playing better. I mean, they do. I mean, if they, even if they just go 500 between now and the trade deadline, if you're 7 games under 500, it doesn't make much sense, right?
Again, like where they are right now, for me to say like, and this is such a fan thing, they're gonna buy, they're gonna sell. They might not do anything. Because like it, like to your point, if you feel like there's more value in Rutschman at the end of the year than now, I mean the only way you do deal, you'll deal anybody for anything if it's a good deal. And if
Yeah,
it's such, especially in
sure.
a year where you can't win,
The
because
Rays have
we're
the
not winning with
Rays.
any of these guys. Somebody wants Alonso's contract, give it to him. You know what I mean? Nobody would want Alonso's contract, which makes it a bad contract. So I like to me at this point, Standing pat doesn't get me mad. Making bad deals gets me. What gets me mad is they stink and they have the wrong people running the team and they're not in front of it.
Yeah,
That's what's
but
got me angry. But that was the segment we did about their ownership, because this is an ownership crisis. The stadium's empty, the team stinks, the assets are withering, they're not up to speed, the leadership doesn't feel right, the manager certainly doesn't. This guy does not feel like a major league man. There's nothing about this guy that nothing in 3 months that says to me, yeah, I like him. Yeah, I like something about him. I'm out. I'm just out on Craig Albernez.
I'll say I think it's too soon, but
You're not in.
I'm not impressed. I mean, I'll say this, even though he's had his moments of things that, that haven't necessarily been the best thing to say, the Basayo thing, for example, regardless of what was actually going on, that's something you need to keep in-house as much as you possibly can. But from a media perspective, he's been willing to go into more detail in answering thoughtful baseball questions than Brandon Hyde, who just didn't say a whole lot, just in general, right? Just,
It's not about communicating with the
fans, but
media. It's
fans
about
don't,
communicating with the fans.
fans, well, I understand that, but, and that's why, but that
But
said,
they don't
fans
always.
only care so much about that if you're winning. And think about it, all of Buckisms. They played way better when those played way better with the fans when the Orioles were winning. When they weren't winning, it just sounded, oh, it's the same old thing from Buck, right? You know what I mean? So there's some of that, but just I'm glad you mentioned standing pat, because honestly, if you wanted, gun to my head, what do you think's going to be happening on August 3rd, the trade deadline? I'm guessing it's going to be something that resembles standing pat way more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Be
I do.
because I think,
I don't think their assets are all. You're not in
you're
a.
not going to get the most.
He doesn't. Rutschman isn't gonna. None of these guys have that kind of value to move the
None of these.
needle, I don't think.
I mean, okay,
As
so
a seller, as a seller.
let me provide this caveat. Taylor Ward is going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Okay.
If they are still 7, 8 games under 500, or if they're a little bit
Worse.
worse, then it's an easy decision on him. But let's say
They're two under
you're two under,
and three off the wild card.
even then, though, like,
They got to do a lot of winning this month to make that happen, by the way.
here's the other thing that's interesting. I'm not sure there's a whole lot in their minor league system that's going to get them anything that's going to really move the needle. I mean, okay, could you, I'm not saying there's nothing in their system.
What's
Let me
going
be
to move the
clear.
needle when you're four games under
But that,
500?
right. I mean, that's the thing.
What are they
Like,
even trying to shop for at this point? They're
but that's
satisfied having lousy third base. They're sad,
where I think it's
it's a little late
interesting.
for that, you know?
That's where I think it's interesting. Even though the net result sounds like standing pat, if you had, if there weren't so many questions about the GM at this point, which, let's face it, if there weren't so many questions about the GM at this point, this club would be playing better, because then we'd be saying, hey, things are fine, right? Let's buy all of that. But you do wonder, like if David Rubenstein called Luke Jones and said, hey, do you want to be a general manager? First of all, that'd be a terrible idea, full disclosure. However, if I had my opportunity, that's where I do wonder if I'd try to approach it almost like the Rays have at various times over the last 20 years, where, maybe it's you're trying to shake things up, and I don't know. Maybe you trade Jackson Holliday for a really good pitcher. And I don't mean necessarily like just a rental, but I don't
Boy,
know.
that's interesting. I mean, that would be blockbustery around here
And I'm
for
just,
them, because this organization has never dealt like that. They didn't want to deal Machado. I mean, it speaks to the creep that owned the team for 30 years, but like, they didn't make those kinds of splashy things after 96 or 90. After Pekulik left, that was the end of that, because it was the end of them being competitive enough to do anything splashy and go deal for David Wells at the trading deadline or whatever. Like, Jack Flaherty aside, and whatever other Lonnie Smiths, and what was it, Kevin Bass? I'm trying to think of these names from back in the day.
Well, I mean, let's try to keep it in the present.
Yeah, I understand that,
Yeah,
but
no,
like,
but
those
I.
are the kinds of additions that would make no difference here in any way, and that's why your stand pat thing, I'm like, Yeah, what are they really going to do? Deal Jackson Holiday? Because that doesn't feel like anything that they're that's in their scope. You
Right.
know
I
what I
mean,
mean?
you kind of look at who they've traded. I mean, think about it. I mean, disappointment that he was only here 1 year aside, the Corbin Burns trade was great. Joey Ortiz is a utility guy. DL Hall's hurt again. You know what I mean? Like, that was a phenomenal trade, even for 1 year of Corbin Burns. That was a great trade. You look at, okay, Stowers. If you knew Stowers was going to blossom to the degree that he had, but he's also had some injuries, and I mean, hasn't. I don't think he's going to become an MVP either, right? For the most part, the guys that they have traded, with some of these deals, even some of these deals that ended up being underwhelming at the trade deadline the last few years, they haven't really traded an abundance of guys that have blossomed. And you say, oh my gosh, you just traded that guy. You traded that guy. Like, there hasn't been an Eduardo Rodriguez, right? Even though they got Andrew Miller, and Andrew Miller did everything the Orioles wanted him to do in that deal. But then you saw what Eduardo Rodriguez became for a long period of time. I mean, even with the Stowers deal, like Norby just got sent back to AAA, right? Norby's back in AAA.
So
Rogers.
is Jeremiah Jackson, by
Well, I mean, but
the way.
Jeremiah, he was a minor league free
No,
agent,
I'm just
but
saying, like, you know,
no, I'm glad you mentioned it
he was
because we
going to the
haven't.
Hall of Fame 3 weeks ago because, like, and we look, we're baseball people.
I mean,
You know,
it was a.
utility guys or like fringe guys or Blaze Alex, you know, whatever they are,
You ride the hot hand until it runs
they
its
can't
course,
all be
right?
Steve Pierce, man. They can't
And
be.
Jeremiah Jackson will be back at some point. I mean,
And
he's
contribute.
sure.
Hopefully in a
So,
pennant race next year,
but
you
no,
know.
like when I and look, I was when I dropped Jackson Holliday's name, I wasn't saying that intending that to be like a hot take, but or anything like that. I'm just using him as an example. But whether it's a trade deadline, whether it's this winter, and again, probably more likely if something were to happen like that, it's going to be this winter if there's a new general manager. Although, is there even going to be an off season, right? I mean, like, these are the kind of things you talk about with the winter meetings and all that. But we talked about this a little bit last year, if you remember. Like, I made the point, probably just in passing. I don't even know what we were talking about specifically, but I made the point of wondering if there was something to the idea of trading a member of the young core. And I don't mean like Kyle Stowers was
Stowers,
never,
I was going to
Stowers
say,
was
yeah.
always meant, he was always kind of like on the
Dude, that's a
fringe.
great. The Stowers trade was, I mean, look, I beat up Elias. Not,
And Trevor
I don't
Rogers
even beat up Elias. I just judge that. To
he
me,
pitched
that.
great last year, and Rogers, the last few starts, is starting to look like a useful starting pitcher again.
Well, and he has been a useful starting pitcher, so like that wasn't a bad deal. And Stowers, none of us saw that 30 home run thing out of
Well, and
him
like I
yet.
said, I mean, he is hitting better now and he's getting going now, but he missed a lot of time last year.
There was a lot of question about whether he was a Major League Baseball player. He was
And
testing
oh,
first that when
sure.
they dealt
No,
with him.
he's been
Yeah.
a great story. And I love the kid. I mean, Kyle Stowers is one of the nicest ball players I've ever been around,
See, I didn't know that about him. So that's
nice
like,
kid.
I know he was
But
beloved by his teammates
it
because
also
of the,
speaks to
yeah.
like to make trades, like you have to give up something to get something. The idea, I've heard different general managers, different managers, different head coaches across different sports talk about this idea. The idea isn't to try to fleece another team. The idea is that you make a trade that's going to work out for both sides to then do what? Make another trade in the future, right? I mean, that's why there was so much, pearl clutching and so much angst about what happened with the Ravens and the Raiders, right? With the Crosby deal and all that. And, to bring it back to this, I mean, they gave up Stowers, who blossomed. Norby has not blossomed. And Trevor Rogers was a dud for them short term, but he was great last year. And
Yeah,
it
what
feels.
trade this month makes this team better for next year?
And it's funny, I
What
didn't even.
would they give up and what would they get asset wise? To your point, it's
Yeah.
contractual with Rutschman and it's
Well, I think Rutschman's
theoretical
probably.
with Holiday and Henderson at this point.
Yeah.
Like if they are your aircraft carriers.
Yeah, but and it's funny. This is stream of consciousness. I wasn't intending to bring him up in this context, but I mentioned Taylor Ward. Well, Trevor Rogers is the other guy. He's going to be a free agent. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're going to sell, and again, when we talk about selling,
They might like him enough to give him some money and keep him around.
I mean, they
What's he
could.
worth? He's
They
not getting
could.
$100 million from anybody.
I mean, do you see the Shane Boz contract that the Orioles gave him? I
Yeah, all
mean,
right.
and you're talking about someone hitting the market. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's not going to get
Hitting the
insane money.
market is so weird because it gives you the pick of anybody you want, and they're all just pitchers. Their arms are
Yeah.
today, not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Literally.
So
Today, not
you know,
tomorrow.
but really those are the two names that come to mind. Assuming they're not going to make the kind of leap that says, okay, you're definitively going to buy. You know, those are the two guys you look to. I mean, Rutschman's more interesting to talk about, or, you know, any of the other guys more interesting to talk about. But in terms of what typically goes on at the trade deadline, you know, those are your two best expiring assets. And, you know, I mean, we could kind of look at a couple of the bullpen arms, but, you know, I
And
mean,
they're not surging with value in a year when you stink. You know what I mean? This isn't, do we deal Tony Gwynn when we're in last place?
yeah,
If
I
we're
mean,
the, or, you know, like,
this isn't dealing Machado in 2018.
correct,
Yeah, I mean, of
correct.
course not.
There's no,
So,
you don't have to do anything at any
yeah,
of this
right.
point.
So, that's where, and when I just read Elias's full comments about the trade deadline, I mean, there are a lot of things I can take issue with as it pertains to this front office and his leadership or lack thereof post Brandon Hyde firing or all kinds of different things we could talk about. I didn't really have a problem with what he said. I mean, what, you know, he's not going to say a full month before the deadline, unless you're 30 games under 500.
I'm interested
He's,
in what he's going to do, right?
yeah,
Not what he's going to say,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
And
And,
that is going to be back to the field. White Sox, Reds this weekend, 4th of July, hot as Hades all week long around here. Ball's going to fly like a home run Rich is John Martin going to have to give it away this week, Maryland Lottery. Luke will be at the ballpark sweating it out this week. We have 4th of July, and then Luke's going on vacay. We have an all-star game. I'm going up to Philadelphia for the all-star game in 2 weeks. And then it's going to be football season. Coming in on a trading deadline where we will reassess how many games under 500 the Orioles are at that point, because they will be. They will be under 500 when they get up on this. Otherwise, the whole city will be on fire if somehow they go 13-1 the next 2 weeks and pick this thing up, which we all feel like they might not be capable. Where are you on the White Sox? The final shot on that, because they're in town. They're kind of an interesting group because you'd like to look over the hill and say, well, maybe the Orioles could be that next year. And you know, the Scooble thing, or that Scooble thing, their pitching situation for them. The Scooble thing was a thing in that division because the Tigers were supposed to be the team, and you know, the White Sox have been better than advertised. There are a whole lot of teams in baseball you could say that about. You'd like to think the Orioles would like to think about that this time next year to say they've been, you know, a curbside team for a while, the White Sox, and it feels like they're picking it up a little bit, and they come in here. This is the best White Sox team we've had in a while, right?
yeah, well, I mean, the White Sox are interesting in the sense that if you recall, what was it, 5, 6 years ago, they had, you know, kind of a similar breakout to almost like how the Orioles did it, where you said, oh man, look at all these good young players.
They had
And
Crochet.
then,
They had the pitchers. That's why I said
and
Scooble. Yeah.
right, but it, and then it just, it really went not so well, right? I mean, like you look at them, I'm pulling up their records right now. They won 93 games in 2021. Right. And they made the playoffs back to back years. Now, granted, 20, you know, that was the COVID year. Weird. We all understand that. But then 81 and 81, and then 61 and 101. And then, of course, they had the historically awful season 2 years ago. But like they're back ascending again, and they're
Well, there is that
interesting.
Astro ball theory. We're going to get bad, and then we're going to get better
You
players. And
know, but what I'm saying is like they had, but they had a similar, the 5 years ago, like you were thinking, hey, this is an exciting young team that's made the playoffs and all that. And then it just crashed and burned again. So, like,
well, they
and
dealt their players instead of signing them for the most part, right? This is a
yeah.
great conversation we're having about Rutschman and Henderson and Holiday to say, all right, we give them all the money they want 3 years from now. Are we in the playoffs? And then you would say, well, it depends who the pitchers are.
I would say, yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm not excited about this group anymore. I just am not. But my final point, and it's on the White Sox, who, you know, they've played well. It's helped them that Jose Ramirez is out, and the Guardians have really fallen off here over the last couple weeks. But I think you look at this last stretch here. White Sox, then they go to Cincinnati. I mean, the Reds, were a nice story early in the year, not so much since then. Cubs at home, Kansas City at home, All-Star break. It's a lot of home games, right? And obviously this point has already lost some of its bite because they just lost two out of three at home to the Nationals. But point is, you've got quite a stretch here of home games, and go look at the post All-Star game schedule. They're on the road a lot. So this team has been decent at home. It's been a bad road team record-wise. This kind of feel for Michael Elias talking about being a buyer. Okay, these next 10, these next 2 weeks going into the All-Star break. And we've said this like three different times, so I feel like I'm a broken record, but feels like it's the last stand in terms of like, are you going to really try to make anything out of this season, or are we just going to keep having the same conversation over and over and over and over? And I think it's probably the latter, but
We had it over and over and over so much I dropped an F-bomb in this segment, first
I
time in
know, right?
35 years. So
But you
should
just
I
look
even
at it
edit
like,
it out? I don't even know. But I did
yeah.
drop an F-bomb. That's how I am. I'm disgusted by every aspect of them at this point. The ownership, the way I've been treated, the way the fans have been treated, the way the Birdland people have been treated, the way they treat Masson, the way they continue on with these Grandals and Baders and this dead weight of this Angelos era and everything that they bring into it, and the way that they position themselves. I'm disgusted by them, and I'm disgusted that I give them 3 hours of my time, 35, 40. 43 years into this, but 35 years in the radio career, 28 years into doing this every day of my life, and just thinking like it's been such a poor value proposition for me of late.
Well,
And I feel the weight of that, and I think fans feel the weight of that. And your point of like there are a lot of pissed off Oriole fans right now because of the investment we've all made, financially or otherwise. W whatever the investment is, it's sort of like we're not getting our that money's worth. We're not getting value out of this.
I'll continue to go back to the point that I've made over and over as it pertains to the Mike Elias era, right? How much you sat through of deliberately, first, he entered, it was bad, right? It was really bad before he got here. And I want to make that point because I want to be fair. But to then sit through deliberately staying bad kind of baseball for a few years, multiple years, and then it got really interesting and really exciting for about two calendar years. And ever since then, we've been saying, that's it. All of that for two calendar years of, two playoff appearances, albeit not a single playoff win, and that's it. 2 years later, we're still waiting for that to come back, right? For that to return. And as more time goes on, this all makes a lot more sense if you just accept that this is what they are, right? They're not very good. Like
Yeah, the
it's
fact that you just said out loud that you don't believe in the young core and that they're sycophants
just.
or draft people that look at it and think like that they're these golden children because they are. They're 1-1s. I mean, but
I
like
just,
what does that get you? They're 8 games under 500,
I mean,
and
I
it's dead
don't,
of summer, it's 100 degrees. Nobody's coming to the ballpark. Nobody's excited about this. And all of
I,
it other than Ben McDonald and Jim Palmer are pretty much lousy.
I don't believe that they're building anything special at this point in time. And like, that's not even a bold statement to make at this point. And,
Fair.
but if that's how you feel, how are you going to pivot? Not just in terms of Mike Elias, but like everything you do, right? And that's, I just don't feel like in the poker world, this is when you'd say you're drawing dead, meaning there's not a card in the deck that's going to win you the hand. Feels more and more like they're just drawing dead with this era of Orioles baseball. And maybe that'll, I hope I'm wrong. Boy, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, you don't look
I'd love
wrong.
to see a turnover over the
Standings,
next,
and the
but
attendance and the vibe say you're not wrong at all. Luke will be at the ballpark. He'll be sweating it out. You got a wrap? You good?
that
You
was
want to
it. I
edit
mean,
the F-bomb out of the segment?
yes, we need to do that. We don't need to get you in trouble here as we're taking a little
I'm
geared
sorry,
up
but I'm
for.
not. I like I'm not.
All right. It, you know, put a nice Don't mute it out. Put a nice beep over it.
My
You know,
disgust is a special kind of disgust after meeting Katie Griggs and, and these people that run the place. It's a different kind of disgust when the arrogance sits on top of the incompetence that sits on top of the empty stadium it sits upon, and then and charging premium prices. So, he's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. I'll start talking politics and community. That'll get me happy. Back for more. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us. Happy summer.